So today and tomorrow, we're going to go over some things that I sort of think of as a basis for talking about teaching. We can talk about anything you want. It doesn't have to just be about teaching stats or research methods or their combined course. There's very little that you talk about teaching anything else that you don't talk about teaching stats. And if everybody had the conversations about teaching that stats and methods teachers have among themselves, I think there'd be some benefit to that. And you'll see some of those distinctions that stats teachers make that other teachers don't make explicitly that I think can be very helpful. I want to confess that this whole thing is being taught as if I were training you to be phys ed teachers. The reason for that is twofold. One, phys ed teachers have long drawn the distinction between learning about and learning how to. And when you're teaching stats and design, it's not enough to teach them about stuff. They need to actually be able to do it. So that distinction becomes really helpful. Second of all, we're going to talk a little bit today and a lot tomorrow about what are called Bloom's taxonomies for learning or Bloom's taxonomies for education. And nearly everybody knows the first one because that's about cognitive psychology and people think that, well, that applies. But there are two others. One is about affect or emotion, and the other is about physical training that was specifically designed for the phys ed majors, but we're going to see that it applies any time that you make the distinction between teaching about and teaching how to. So those are two things that we are really going to talk about a lot, and a lot more than in most teaching classes. One, the distinction between learning about and learning how to, and two, the emotional and performance aspects of teaching, learning, and assessment. The most interesting part of this is that we're going to talk about everything that I have done to, with, and for you in the classes we've had together. It's always a little more interesting to teach this as 974 at the same time that I'm teaching people 941. Because in one class, I'm telling you what I'm doing to you in the other class. And it gets a little Alice down the rabbit hole, but I actually like things like that. I like that kind of revelatory, now you know why I'm doing this to you, go do it. All right, so three things we want to talk about today. Backwards design, teaching more than the content of the course, and the notion of teaching in public. Backwards design is a very simple idea. The idea is that at some point you're going to assess what they know and what they've learned, and that it's useful to think way ahead of time about that. And thinking about both of those parts. One is, what do you want them to learn? Teach them that. And two, what are you going to accept as evidence that they have learned it? And make sure they're ready for that too. Now, part of that is that about how-to distinction. Part of that is the dreaded teaching for the test, which we will talk about in great detail, including where the phrase came from. But backwards design is the idea that you've got work to do as a teacher, and that is that you need to design your assessments ahead of time so that you can maximally prepare students for them. So I would like you to read over this quick little blurb that I wrote, which is just a little blurb. And then here is one of my favorite semi-formal treatments of it that I'd like you to read. And when I say read, like read it tonight so we can talk about it tomorrow. There's one part in here that I want to emphasize. It's not really about backwards design, but it's about teaching tied to backwards design. That you can't possibly teach everything that you want to teach. And so at some point, as part of this backwards design, also make active decisions about what things you're going to introduce them to, what things you're going to cover, and what things you're going to beat into them. That's sort of my three layers. Introduce, cover, And this might have no assessment tied to it all, just exposure to ideas. Sometimes to warm them up for ideas, sometimes because other things are coming, sometimes because it's just fun. There's going to be at least some assessment of this, but this is the core that everyone must walk out the door knowing. When we talk more about backwards design, that pretty quickly leads to a discussion of kinds of testing, what we're going to test. But those discussions are easier after we've worked through the taxonomies. And then we'll decide how much of that stuff we want to do. So that's the backwards design. Basic idea. Get your act together ahead of time, focusing on two decisions. Teaching to maximize preparation for performance assessment. And two, deciding ahead of time what things you wish you had more time for. And what things are really going to be the centerpiece of everything that you're doing. The knowledge and skills part. This is a article. It's getting fairly old now, but nobody has come out with a cooler thing since then. Zechmeister wrote a really good research methods text that had as much as 50% of the market for about a decade, and that's 50% of the market among over 80 research methods and stats books. And so base rate for the market would be, what, less than 2%, and he had 50%. Makes that 50% look pretty good. He had a larger section than any group except Fruchter back in the 60s. But what they're doing is they came out with a list of things that psych majors are expected to know by psych majors and psych profs and other sorts of people. So oral and written communication, information gathering, groups organization, behavioral management, stats methods. The point is that in general, there is no course in the undergraduate psychology curriculum, or our friend, that is expected to deliver these more than the methods and the stats courses. Nobody else is really expected to teach lit reviews, PowerPoints, all that skill set that they're going to learn that's not content. Your folks, your fellow teachers, are likely to expect that to magically come out of the research methods course. Okay, just sort of so you know what you have yourself in for. Now, the good news in this was that they generally found that seniors had better skills than freshmen on these things that were not psychology per se, and that psychologists generally did better than other kinds of social psychologists because, and here's the emphasis, not because there's anything special about the psych profs or the psych students, but because the psych profs as a group decided to teach these things. And that's going to sort of be an undercurrent. If you want somebody to learn something, go ahead, teach it to them. And if you want them to pay attention to you while you're teaching it to them, threaten them with being graded on it. That's why the answer to the question, will this be on the test, should always be yes. Yes, dear.
So, and I'm curious to get to this, but none of these areas are content specific.
Right.
So then it's a matter of implementing types of activities or assignments that you plan to tap these things in.
Yep.
And these are the enduring understanding capabilities you want them to take.
But not content.
Yeah.
And not even, I mean, notice they took all of research methods and stats and made it one. Now, obviously, you're not going to get much help on those things from anybody who's teaching any other course. But you're going to get more help on them, especially if you're in a research-based department. I'm really lucky because I can count on people having at least one lecture about methods in nearly every course they teach. And so my kids are going to hear that over and over for the years after. That's because this is a research-based department. And even our professors of practice are all researching. But I talk to people, I do workshops in places that are not research-oriented at all. They're practice-oriented. And nobody expects to do anything to help the method teacher. So part of it is you got to know where you are, what your expected curricular role is. But yeah, in attention to all that, here's this other stuff that as the stats and methods teacher, you are going to get to find a way to teach them. It's like sort of like an unfunded mandate for the state. The feds have decided the state's going to offer this. Money? Best of luck. Extra time? Resources? Best of luck. You're thinking about it just right. You're sitting there with this, look on my...
No, I agree with you, but it's a very... I mean, I'm sure others don't share that worldview with you. I mean, if you have a person who's teaching stats or research design, especially if it's a one-term thing and that's not what they're there to teach, they may be focused on the content and really care less about what you're getting away from it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm definitely on the same page that you are, but...
And we'll see some when we get to the impression management. If you manage to increase their ability to do those things, your colleagues will like you because they don't want to have to do it. It's that simple. It's sort of a who's going to take responsibility and do it. Who's going to dig the hole? Who's going to cover the hole up later? Kind of thing. Especially if you're teaching stats or a methods class or a combined class that has a lab. That's when you find an opportunity for a lot of this stuff. And usually, there's people around to help you. Our whole how to use the library thing was built for us. I had almost nothing to do with it. People put dozens of hours and thousands of dollars into building a system that functions very well. And that was their job. There was a liaison to the psychology department from the Reference Librarian Guild. And that was their job. And I did not know that. But I asked enough places and said, this person will do this for you if you ask them. And they did. And it's wonderful. So very often there are resources that no one's tapping into. And you don't have to build everything from scratch yourself. Kiss that up to God. But yeah, you're worried about the right stuff. All right, impression management. Or the phrase that one of my first teaching profs used to say is, early to bed, early to rise. He used to say, work your ass off and advertise. And it's the advertise part that teachers are not good at. Compare and contrast teaching with research. Research is done in private, right? For control. But then that research result is published. Teaching is done in public and then disappears into private. And nobody ever talks about it again. You would be amazed how much more teachers talk to each other about their teaching now than they did 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I annoyed the hell out of people because I insisted on talking to them about what I was teaching here for them, with them, for their kids. And it was nightmarish trying to get those conversations started. There's a much better public side to teaching now, but the most important public side is real simple. Teaching requires resources. Teaching well and getting better at teaching requires resources, and there are not a lot of those resources around. It's really hard to get a grant for teaching. The closest you can usually get is a grant for some aspect of research about teaching that you can use to make your teaching better. If you want to teach what you want to teach, the way you want to teach it, people better think you're a good teacher. Does that make sense? I mean, it's just, you've known this since you were adolescents. If you want your way, be good at it. Be trustworthy, be reliable, have a history of doing it well. The challenge here is that you are going to have to propagate that history. You are going to have to advertise. And so this first exercise that I want you to do, in addition to the reading that I want you to do tonight, is called the wannabe exercise. The wannabe exercise focuses on the idea that we have three categories of people whose impressions about us we want to manage. Students, our colleagues, and whoever is evaluating us. Supervisors, chairs, tenure committee, awards committee, all of those folks. And based on a lot of factor analytic work that we did about 20 years ago, the impressions that we want to manage are your lectures, your assignments, your exams, and your relationships with students. So you can sort of give this a quick read through, but what we really care about is this. And I made it as a doc file so that you can operate on it. Oh, go away. I didn't mean that. So here's what we want to do. So we've got lectures. And what I want you to do is think about two things that you want students to say about your lectures and two things that you don't want students to say about your lectures. Two things that you want other teachers to say about your lectures and two things you don't want them to say. And then two things that you want people who are going to evaluate you to say about your lectures and two things you don't want them to say. And if you're putting the same things down for each audience, you're not paying attention. Okay? And if you're putting down "not boring" every time, you're cheating. Then about assignments. Same thing. What do you want these audience to say about your assignments? What do you not want them to say about your assignments? Your exams and your interactions with students. Make sense? So pick one. Which one do you want to do? You want to do, because I want to get an active start on this. Do you want to work on lectures, assignments, exams, or interactions?
Interactions.
Interactions? Lectures is the easiest. And the reason I have this one at the end is that by the time you get to this, you're now thinking about all those other things as part of your interacting with students, not just talking to them in and out of class. So let's do lectures. This was the old, you have a choice, because it's important to give you a choice. You can have the broccoli, or you can have this seaweed that still has mud on it, crabs in it, and poison ivy. But it's important for you to choose. All right, get writing. Get thinking. You got three different audiences. You got things that you want said about you and you don't want said about you.